Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Stand or nose, Chris. I'm amazed people question Jordan Davis. That dude is a good player. I don't know what they expected when he got here, because he's a nose tackle and they expected like 10 sacks from a nose tackle, but he is a good player.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Bird 365, a Football Friday edition, and we are officially off the rails talking about toe spreading, James.
Toe spread, man.
Everybody's making fun of
Chris. You got the toe spread right along.
Yeah. So Chris Franklin joins us now. Chris, sorry to start you on such a random topic.
Is that like a cracker or something? Like, the toe spreads? Like, what is that?
Yeah, Nolan, man. Lane tells him you gotta have those.
Toe spread. Often said toast spread. I was like, what's the toast spread?
That's why you're looking crazy at me.
You know, with the ankle, I something I didn't know. Even then, like, I know some of those guys.
No, I know Lane's talked about it in the past. He's always wearing those toe spreaders. So, but yeah, I mean, now I know. I got them spread right now, Chris, in the home office. I got to get some better balance. So
it's important, especially when we're giving this analysis and everything else. We have to be balanced. You have to be ready to go in any direction. So you got to have Freddie and dexterity ready to go.
poor Olivia taking random bullets from Nolan Smith.
I was looking down my notes. I'm like, oh, let me type this up. And I was like, wait, where's this going? Oh, okay, good.
Anyway, yeah, I also enjoyed the Elmer Fudd. I call it the Elmer Fudd drill, where they creep up like it's wabbit season and the receivers then explode out of the I guess it's about explosion, but they're creeping like they're hunting Bugs Bunny, and then all of a sudden they explode out of their routes. It was an interesting day at the NovaCare Complex, Chris.
It really is. Is it the one where they go one and two? And
that's Elmer Fudd. Watch him. That's Elmer Fudd creeping up on Bugs Bunny.
I was going slow Chaz Michael for anybody who was Blaze of Glory. It's almost like that.
You can tell I'm older than you. You can tell I'm a little bit older. But, you know, I had a difficult time. And we can only talk about it. I tried to put all the context out there, Chris. We can only talk about what we see, though. And it was not a great day for the offense. What is going on? What do you think is going on?
It's a combination of two things. I think one thing was they were trying to work it when it comes to the short passing game, they're working on that a lot. Like a lot. They threw some of that one. They're working a lot. And I think it's one of those things where the defense, when you see it after a while, like, okay, I know it's gonna kinda happen around this one. The options, you jump it. Second one is you're seeing what you want with the defense, and the when you look at the personnel they have now, what they added, you got guys that like to jump routes and be aggressive, and you're seeing a byproduct of that as well too. So I think you got a combination of both things when in terms of that. It's to me, it's still May. Now, if this is like the second week of training camp and we're seeing stuff like this consistently, then the red flags, I don't think we're anywhere near that. I think it's mostly they were working on slants, because some of the balls you saw, you never see Jalen like try to force it. He said in the past that when it comes time to this time of year, you try things that you know you're going to have to do and see what works. So,
I hope that's the reason. And maybe the quarterbacks were pissed off about having the throw underneath because they were not interested in it. From my perspective, Chris,
yeah, it's a lot of check downs. Maybe that's a good thing, though, especially you have a lot of teams blitzed them last year and it affected them. So get used in their heads.
Chris, Johnny Mack declared his OTA MVP, which I'm now calling the best football award of May. Johnny Mack's giving it to Isaiah Rodgers. What'd you see from Isaiah Rodgers? And do you agree with John's assessment, or maybe you have a different? Chris Franklin, MVP of OTAs.
That's a pretty good one, especially the way we were talking about jumping routes and getting used to stuff, the way he jumped that route and slammed to AJ, and he took it back. I thought that was a pretty good one. Otherwise, I don't know. I know it was one practice. I like what I saw out of John Ross. I like the way he's supposed to.
Yeah, John was open on that Mekhi Gardner interception. Kenny Pickett just threw a duck out there.
It was definitely underthrown. It definitely was underthrown there. But yeah, look at the way, like, granted, second team, but I look at the way that he was still, you still see that quickness and you still see in that veteran know how of trying to get off the line of scrimmage and try to get open. And with this offense, they need a speed guy. And you hope that he becomes what they thought Quez was going to be. And you just need him to catch. If they throw it to him deep, say like a 30-plus yard passes six times, you just need him to catch three. Because once you get him to catch at least half those passes, you have to – you're already going to go special speed, but you really have to dedicate an extra safety. You really do have to play a lot of cover too, and that just opens up stuff for Saquon underneath and running that. So I think there's some opportunities there if he's consistent enough where he can be your third or fourth guy in this offense.
Linebacker's interesting to me because I started to get the feeling that Nakobe was finally back out there for a little bit, which surprised me. I thought they'd be cautious since he wasn't there last week. And he's back on the field. But Devin White's still getting all the first team reps and 7-on-7. Then they have that short 11-on-11 red zone drill, and Nakobe's out there. So that's a positive for Nakobe Dean. I was starting to think that it looks like Vic wants Devin White to be the middle linebacker of this team. Where are you on that situation?
I think it's a slow ramp up going to minicamp, next week's minicamp, and then from there you give him the rest and go to training camp. Because I don't think they want to really rush. They want to make sure he's completely 100% healthy, completely comfortable out there. I think when it does start, I think it's going to be Dean in the middle. And then I think White, he's there now because of his experience of playing in the middle in the past. And then you go with that. So I don't think it's too concerning as of yet. If it becomes, hey, you know what, we're looking at, say, Devin White as the starting middle linebacker in a will, I think, personally, I think Nakobe's better as a Mike than a will. I think that's just...
Yeah, I think they think that too. That's sort of my concern. And Vic seems to like Zach Bond. So for the first time, I'm starting to think maybe Nakobe, because for this entire time, I'm like, well, Nakobe's going to be the middle linebacker. And then it's going to be Devin, or if Zach Bond would have to push Devin White at weak side. For the first time, I started thinking, maybe Nakobe's not. Maybe I should use the pencil, not the pen. But you still think he's going to be the guy?
I still think he's going to be the guy. And then when you pull him, maybe you keep Devin White, say if it's third and long, or if an obvious passing situation, maybe you keep you slide White over as the Mike, and then you bring in another extra safety, you bring in the in the big nickel, and then you bring in some other, or you bring in some other cornerbacks as well too in the passing downs. But I think overall, when you look at it, when we're looking at starters, I think you see Nakobe there in the middle.
If he's not the guy, I mean, it might be it for him, right? I mean, this is his third year. He's only got a 4-year contract on the rookie deal. If he doesn't play this year, I don't see how they're going to move forward with him, especially with so many people fighting for roster spots. I mean, Chris, I want to go to the cornerback room. All of a sudden, the cornerback room, Howie's got like a big decision to make here. There's Isaiah Rodgers is stepping up. There's all sorts of guys who are really playing good ball. You got the two rookies. You got Slay is back. I mean, Avante Maddox. Now, I think they're going to move him to safety. I don't know if they'll do it full time, but just what do you think of the cornerback room? I mean, everybody seems to be playing hard there. Should be a good contest all through camp. But what have you seen so far from your two OTA sessions?
This is going to be one of the ones positions where I would not want to be the person deciding the back end of that section, because I think it's a better problem to have than what they had last year, because they have so many cornerbacks in that in terms of that. So there's a lot of questions. I look at the back end and seeing who you keep. You can't hide anybody. You maybe somebody gets the phantom hamstring injury going into the like and go, you know what? You're looking so good. I think you're looking puppish right now. Oh, what? Oh, no, you stay there. You got that. So when I look at it, I think Isaiah Rodgers is earned a spot. I know I'm in the minority when I say this, but I still think James Bradbury could be a guy. I still look at him as a guy who can still contribute, especially now that you have Vic here in Philly. I think he can utilize him the right way. I know it's not popular, but I think –
I've said that for months. I just don't think
they want him to contribute here anymore.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be. I don't even know if he's going to be here June 4th, Chris. I think they might. Obviously, if they can get something for him, you know, there's a lot of these goofy people. It's always Indianapolis or Arizona because Steichen's there or Gannon's there. Blah blah blah. But see, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I think as I look at it, like you got a guy who's he's off on like that is. When you look at his career, he's off on. It's an on year. B.
It's an on year.
It doesn't cost you much. C. I think it's gonna be tough to trade him because everybody knows that you got so many people at that position now, and you're either gonna have to offload him. I think it's tough to trade for him. And would you rather get a guy who can still play at an all pro level and you give him up for a 6th round pick or a 5th round pick? I see the two, especially cornerback. I think there's too much value that you gotta take a risk there. So. Yeah,
they have so many, though. They have so many. And not that May 30th means much, but Isaiah has looked very good. Kaylee looked good. Kaylee should have had an interception. Kaylee Ringo. I love Kaylee Ringo, by the way, Chris Franklin. His upside, I'm talking about. And then obviously you have Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. I mean, at some point, when you have that many young corners – who can play on the outside. I don't know. I just don't see the fit with James Bradbury. But I'm with you from a philosophical sense. I think he's a perfect cornerback for Vic Fangio. Perfect.
And then cover 6, half side cover 2, half side cover 3, and you're utilizing the zone. That's to me that you use that. But yeah, I can see that. And when you look at the other guy, Eli Ricks, you still see some talent in there as well too. And Cooper's more to me. I think he's more of a slot guy. I'm using him in the slot. We've seen him in the slot a lot. I'd use him, continue him there. Avante Maddox, I think it's good. You use him as that hybrid. The way you envision Cooper, I think that's the way you want to do with Avante now, especially as much as teams motion and you got to roll Tom sometimes in the slot. So I think that's perfect for him as well too. But yeah, I think you can really save one of those safety spots like. And use them in that. So
yeah, you get to keep an extra corner. I think that's their whole plan with Avante. The fact that because CJ wasn't there yesterday, and Avante was the first team safety, the first OTA was the first team slot. It all depends on health with Avante Maddox, but I think that's a very good sign that it seems like the Eagles value Avante Maddox and his versatility. Because I think a lot of people are saying, well, Avante's going to have – he's on the bubble. He might have difficulty. I don't think he'll have any difficulty if he's healthy. And that's a big if. But to me, that's a good sign. Is that a good sign, the way they've been using him for you?
I mean, for years we've been hearing how much the secondary is going to start turning into a positionless type deal in that terms. And we have guys that can not only play inside but outside as well too. That's huge. And the fact you got him for 1 year, he knows he's familiar with the system. And this system lends better towards veterans when you really, especially when it comes to that mad tough stuff and get out there. So why not have him back here and bring him back? That's what. I know you got a lot of young talent, but especially if you want to stay in this race, you guys got a lot to do what gets you to win, and you need that communication back there in the secondary.
Yeah, that's a tough part of this for me, Chris, is that you have to balance, because I do think you're right, where this is such a communication heavy system that having guys that are veterans, that's what I originally had said to John before, you know, we had broken down James Bradbury. I'm like, look, bring him back. Help them learn, these young guys. This is Vic Fangio. It's a new scheme. It's communication heavy. But I don't know if they have the roster spots to bring back all these old guys. And then you're also going to keep your young guys on the bench for so long. It's a tough decision to make, but I think they're going to lean young guys. I really do.
And so you make you wonder, do you go light in so many other areas? Do you go light in, say, the off-the-ball linebacker? Do you go light in maybe tight end, what you did in the past as well, too, to try to free up some of that spot? Then who knows? Maybe there's a guy, when it's all near cut down time, and they're interested in you at another position. Maybe you do a player for player. I mean, how many times do we see? It's funny when you look at what the Eagles did when they're trying to basically trade with the Denver Broncos, acquiring all these young defensive backs. Why not try to do the same thing and try maybe look and get like a veteran offensive lineman in depth or something, what have you, something like that. So I think that's another option that's on the table too.
By the way, and I'm not picking on Xander here, but because somebody said it in the press conference talking about a new scheme on defense. It's not a new freaking scheme. Why do people keep saying? Now, it's a little bit different. It's always a little bit different, but they've been playing this damn scheme for 3 years now, and this will be the fourth year. Obviously, Vic is the originator, and there's always... Nick talked about it when he handed off the play calling. It was his offense, right? You heard this a million times, Chris. But, you know, it's a little bit different because Shane's different. You know, if you and I are running the same scheme, it's going to be a little bit different.
Well, it is a new scheme for the young guys, though, right? It's a new scheme for Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper.
Yeah, but I think Nolan was the one, or Jordan was the one. Jordan, it was Nolan or Jordan was the one who said, new scheme. It's not a new freaking scheme. It's the same scheme you've been in. There's little tweaks because people are different, but the philosophy remains the same. How do you look at that?
To me, it reminds me a lot of the old, when the West Coast offense was the big thing, and everybody's like, wow, look at the West Coast. And then you had the Andy Reid version, you had the Mike Holmgren version, stuff like that. It's just a defensive version of that. Maybe it's new in terms of, maybe you see a couple of new stunts that we haven't seen, and we know Vic doesn't like to blitz a lot, so maybe it's trying to map
I'm sure,
out.
Yeah, I'm sure it. Some of the terminology is different. He obviously uses those hook or flat defenders a lot more.
Scares me a little bit.
It scares everybody. Scares everybody. So there's going to be differences, but the foundation of the defense remains the same, and it's been that way since Jonathan Gannon got here. And it's big scheme. They were copying big scheme. I don't know. It's a pet peeve.
It's just basically, and I know this is a way oversimplification. It's just a 3-4 defense, a 3-4, even though it's like the overhang, what have you. It's like the old school, like Dom Capers 3-4 defense. You just play a lot of zone behind and make sure you don't get beat deep.
Yeah. I hate that too. No offense.
I was going to say, John, you better not let Chris off the hook.
No. Technically, I said
it's Dwayne Wade just walking this way, like LeBron, John dunk it. Just like, well, there you go.
50, yeah. they use 50 and 40 fronts. But I always say, tell me who the four linebackers are on the field, because everything's nickel in the NFL. So the base philosophy, the old school, the base of any NFL team is a nickel defense. So the old school thought of base defense, 3-4-4-3, you might use that, even if you want to use it as a labeling system, what, 3-3-5 Yeah, it's really 5-2 on first and 10. Because you have Jordan as a nose tackle. It'll be Jalen and Milton Williams as the four eyes and the overhang players, which will be Sweat and Huff. It's really a 5-2. And then when they get the obvious passing, that they use a four-man front. But anyway, it's all labeling. I don't know why it bothers me, but it bothers me.
So well, there, like, I'm here's sorry. A question, though, because I know you said about the schemes, and I do understand what you mean by that. Do different coaches use different terminology within the scheme?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so Vic Fangio, they're technically learning new terms. It
means terminology can change. And
I just wonder why that's maybe why
But I would think, and I don't know this for a fact, the terminology is very similar to last year because Sean was a direct disciple.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Vic Mangio. So I would think the terminology is very, very similar.
And then also, even when it comes to some of the stuff that they're doing up front, when you look at some of these guys have been doing it since they're back in Georgia, a lot of the same stuff they're being asked to do, when you look at the fronts and everything, and may have seen the playbook a couple times in Georgia. But yeah, you look at the thing, it's like, well, that looks very familiar to this. This looks familiar to this. Just like that. So it's basically, yeah, it's all learning, like, whatever they call it. Say if they called it alpha on this one thing, maybe they call it sigma on this other thing. It's one of those things, something like that.
Yeah. Now, terminology on offense, that might be the problem. I think these guys are struggling to learn this new offense. Because the quarterbacks all look terrible yesterday. I'm going to be honest. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. Every single one of them. I'm not picking on Jalen Hurts. Kenny Pickett looked awful. Tanner McKee. I don't know what happened to Tanner McKee. That's the worst Tanner McKee has ever looked, Chris Bryant.
There's one thing that I think that can help him out. He stops doing it. There's an obvious pat when he does the ball, and it's loud too. When he, because you know quarterbacks naturally just go pat and they go. It's a natural. You see him drop back. You go poof. And if I'm a defensive back, I'm not too far away. I hear that hit go. I go, all right, turn around, and look at the ball.
Yeah,
and
here comes the
receiver. And that's something I think he needs to work out of his game and be all right. Like I
want to throw this. Chris is a former quarterback, so I want to throw this at you. Because do you think Doug Nussmeier is trying to do something with Tanner's mechanics? Because they look bad. I've never seen them look bad, and now they look bad. They didn't look bad last week, and now they look bad. Do you think he's trying to break him down and build him up?
I think looking at some of the stuff, I thought like when you look at just like the shortness when he gives his footwork a little bit, I think that's a little bit just to get him a little bit quicker to do that. There's little nuances. I think it's one of those things where you're starting to think and they go, and a lot of things, it's a different reads from what they've been used to when it came to the previous system that they use a lot. So a lot of the things, I think it's just the quarterback's thinking in their heads like, okay, I got to look at this. I got to look at this and this, and what's this called? And it's not to the point where remember that Chris Sims video where they're just trying to John Gruden gave him a play and he's trying to decipher it's nothing nowhere near like that. But I think it's one of those things where they're thinking like, okay, on this play, I have to do this and do that. And that's why I think when you're starting to think a little bit more and you're starting to try to move around and do things, you can go through the progressions and what you're hearing, you're a second slower. And it's just a matter of these guys getting used to it all. Once they get used to all this stuff, then you'll see it be more natural. Then you see them move more lines. That first week, I think it's more like the same thing. We saw what happened with the defense. They were listening to their assignments. They were trying to get used to that. The offense was working on base stuff. They knew this regular stuff and saw what the offense did well. Now I think it's just reversed now for this week going up as well, too. It also could have just been that day and what we saw and then as opposed to what's going on in OTAs, too. So there's a lot of that, but it's a matter of just getting them, everybody just getting comfortable with the new calls and a lot of these two new coordinators and what they're
– Yeah, I definitely saw a lot of uncertainty. Guys,
Is that the explanation for why they're holding on to the football? John said they're 7-on-7. You should be getting rid of the football quick, and they don't seem to be doing that.
And that's what I think you see. They just like, okay, let me force it and see what it looks like here. And that's what I think you force it into something like that because you don't want to – the last thing you want to do is like, quote-unquote, sack. Or it's already, well, that was a sack. No, that wasn't a sack. And – or you run around trying to pick up yards running. Like a 707. If he in, would have killed you. All right, cool.
Putting all that context, May 30th, no pads, no press coverage. Devontae Smith isn't there. All the stuff we know about OTAs. If you're an offense, should you ever have 4 interceptions and 7-on-7s, essentially? Ever?
If you're limiting yourself to the type of play calls they're doing, no, you still shouldn't have 4 no matter what. But when you're limiting yourself to like 5 yards and then guys start seeing the same concepts and they know the script for the most part, I think I might. And they go, well, I can cheat a little bit here and try to get a pick here. That's going to play into factor. So,
all right.
Yeah, ball control.
Good. I need some positivity.
ball control is important no matter what. You can't give it away. And some of those passes were underthrown by all 3 quarterbacks. There are times when they're trying to go there. Yeah. Some of those balls were underthrown. And that's that part when it comes to ball placement. And a lot of times when quarterbacks like, they're like this, but sometimes the route's not precise as well too. That's another aspect of that. Maybe a guy was supposed to cut at 14 and they took under 16 instead. And
That can happen. Cause Kaylee should have had 5. He dropped one. He should have picked off that. Which looked underthrown to us, but maybe it's a bad route. You're right. Maybe Paris Campbell's not where he's supposed to be. It wasn't pretty. I mean,
Joseph Nada is not a perfect route runner.
He's better than last year. I'll say this compared to some of the, if you're looking at, let's say, like the second tier guys, like, and I'm talking about like him, Austin, like look at second tier guys, he's been the one. He's been, I think he's
a little bit more. I think Jacob Harris was the best on day one. Now, he was hurt. He didn't practice yesterday. So that's a concern. He's a fast guy. So he's probably got some kind of soft tissue injury. But they don't have to give us injury notes at this time of year. And yesterday, I thought John Ross was the best of the tier two receivers. So I thought it was Harris, practice one. I thought it was John Ross yesterday.
See, I put my tiers like a guys like I can see like dressing on game day, and then guys who maybe practice squad or other one. So I didn't think he was up there with, say, he's on the 53. So that's where I put my tier. Like, all right, cool. Nah, you're like Ross. I can see as a tier, like, and I think I can see Ross as 53. I can see him in that. And when that's on me, I should rephrase it better. Or rephrase it and saying if it's a guy who I see who is a guy who's probably a practice squad level ish guy who impressed me, that's where I think Nada fills in for that. If you need an Elvin for a game, all right, cool. Yeah, but I don't think I'm saying, you know what, he's going to take Brayton Covey's spot, or hey, he's going to take Ross's or Campbell's spot like that. But he's been, yeah, I've seen a lot of improvement year over year.
I should mention Brayton Covey, because Brayton, he's the one, he's like, he gets separation and a slot receiver. I think at some point they got to take a look at him.
That's one guy I've been waiting to ask you, John. Are they not even considering him in that wide receiver room? I mean, we're hearing all these names. I'm not hearing anything about Brayton Covey.
They don't seem to be giving him any thoughts of first team reps. He gets such separation. Now, Cooper DeJean got a PBU on him, which I'm almost surprised by. And it was a nice play by Cooper. And he's playing against second and third team guys, but he just has a natural ability to generate separation. Is it just he's too small and they're not going to pay lip service to it?
See, it's one of those things where as much as we saw them using the bubble screens and stuff last year, I think especially for a guy who's got a history of being a punt returner and working in small areas and finding creases, I thought that would have been the guy you used. I mean, what do you have, like four catches for 42 or something like that last year?
Yeah.
Like that for it. And then I think he used one of them with that too. And a couple of those catches he had were for two of those four catches were for first down. So I thought that was like kind of telling like he can work things. But if they're looking for guys who are going to demand a big target share and that can make some things happen, why not use him as your fifth receiver? You don't see 5-hour receiver formations a lot. We didn't see him in the last couple of years a lot. Why not use him on there and maybe use him in the backfield, get him in motion, get him running, and say, hey, listen. Treat it like a punt return. Throw it out there out wide and let him go that way too. But, yeah, I don't see him getting 50, 60 targets a year. What we saw in Nia Smith, well, the same thing we project for Nia Smith, you can do for Brayton Covey.
Yeah, yeah. What about E.J. Jenkins? Not E.J. Smith, E.J. Jenkins.
That was a funny Covey story there, but I'll keep it quiet on there on that one. But I think when you look at the way that – I like that he left up a hit, and for me, a good receiver, I like the things I look for as well too. If you can go up there in a tight spot and get it, make a good hands catch, not let it jump up and let him catch by. Yeah, you see so many guys do now. He's got some good hands. I thought he did a good, decent job on there. He's another guy who's a good depth guy, he's a good camp guy. I think maybe he makes the slot. He's one of those like two or three in the practice squad, but. It's tough, between cornerback and wide receiver, those are two positions that are really tough depth wise that you're going to lose somebody. Yeah, I think if you see a couple of these corners that you see on this roster
I don't know what it is about this team, but they seem to default to Alberto and Grant Calcaterra, and they've done nothing. EJ Jenkins, again, it's May. We'll see if he can block at all. But he's made some plays, and he had the good seam route from Kenny Pickett deep in the first practice. He had a back shoulder, where, as you mentioned, he was good hands catcher. I think Grant and Albert should be on the bubble. I mean, I don't know why everybody defaults to those guys.
Well, I think one of them too will be, and it's tough. And it's tough to see which one you do. Like, and then you got Justify. I think Uzumah. I think you just need another a true blocking tight end on this.
That's CJ.
Well, yeah. Who do you guys have then as the leader in the clubhouse for tight end three? Then, if you have Goddard and then
I have Albert O because Howie traded for him.
That's the he usually asset to get him. That's what I think is you sent away an asset to get it, and even though you still use Grant to get it too, but. And I think it's Albert. And the fact they kept him around on a roster so long last year, you kept four tight ends on a roster. It's like, okay, that was a surprise. I saw that one too. So I think.
And it was a surprise. How surprised were you that they signed him so quickly and didn't even get? Like, I assumed, all right, Albert's gone. It didn't work out. And then they sign him and then bring him back. I think that indicates a lot that they want him. Yeah.
Then Grant, you know, you worry about his availability. He's been injured a lot in his short tenure. So that's another thing you gotta worry about as well too.
Yeah.
Make sure everybody follows Chris Franklin on Twitter at C Franklin News or on X, whatever you call it nowadays, and read all his work at NJ.com. He does great work. Chris, anything we missed that stood out to you in your 2 days at OTAs? I know it's spring football, but it's the only thing we've gotten, and we do learn a lot. I said to John yesterday, I think fans and me, we take you guys for granted sometimes. We wouldn't know anything about this team right now if you guys weren't down there. So we did get a lot of information the last two times. Anything we missed that you took away from the two OTAs?
I think when you look at the Tyler Steen and the way that he's – when you look at his fundamentals and the way that he's put his footwork and his playing that right guard, I think he's done – he's improved in that area as well, too. I think it's an improvement there. And I look at the Jordan Davis, how we always saw how quick he was when he ran down Josh Allen in that game last year. I still can't believe it. I'm like,
people on that Buffalo sideline still.
The Buffalo sideline was, they were like, what the hell?
Yeah. We had a guy on our afternoon show, Dance with Dan Cilio, who works in Buffalo, and he was like, months later, he was raving about that play because Dan asked him about Jordan Davis. He's like, I think that guy's going to be okay.
Xander knows, Chris. I'm amazed people question Jordan Davis. That dude is a good player. I don't know what they expected when he got here because he's a nose tackle, and they expected like 10 sacks from a nose tackle. But he is a good player. You know, he needs to play more, and he's gotten in better condition. He's 350. But a different 350, he mentioned. He cut out the juice. He's going to Whole Foods and getting the mango. He gave it's the plug to Whole Foods. Yeah. Breakfast Club. A lot of good stuff yesterday. Yeah. Going back to the toe spreaders and I got to cut out.
Toe spreaders. Okay, got it.
Toe spreaders. Yeah. A lot of good stuff. Nolan Smith, too. He's an energy guy. If he can play, he's Brandon Graham's replacement as the energy guy.
And that's the big if. I want to see consistency out of him. Like, I want to see him remain on the field. And I want to see them use that quickness and get around the corner and do that. And if he finishes with 4 or 5 sacks this year, I think that's out of what he can give him. That's markedly better.
And he's up to 245, but I do think Nolan should tell the truth about that damn shoulder. I mean, that was a problem for him last year. I mean, we all knew it. Yeah. He's got the damn harness on all year. He admitted. What was that quote? That great quote. It's my baby. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. I don't know what that means, but that's what he said.
Not a good quote for Nolan to say. He must have been briefed about that one afterward.
That's one of those things. Like, you're like, all right, and that's tough, especially as once you try to lean into those offensive linemen and trying to fight off them, you don't get to build. Yeah, it was there. You can tell that one too. I think it's one of those things where you said, hey, don't harp on your injuries, don't think about the injuries, and you move forward from there, or you think more, you're hurt, and you slow yourself down. But yeah, it was there. It was definitely there. You're seeing it. Had issues with that.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Chris Franklin. Thanks for joining the show, man. We'll talk to you soon. Great takeaways from OTAs. Great work at NJ.com. Make sure everybody follows him on Twitter. He does great work there as well. Chris, thanks for joining the show, man. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend now.
Thanks, bud.
Good weekend coming up here for Eagles. And next weekend, Johnny Mack, we mentioned that they're back out there, man. Mini camp, 4th to the 6th. So what is that, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week?
Good question. I haven't looked at the calendar. Well,
my calendar, I'll do it for you.
First mini camp of the Nick Sirianni era. Don't be surprised if that last day is canceled. A lot of NFL teams do that nowadays. They go have the bonding experience, get out of school,
You're kidding me. You're telling me what we got the first mini camp of Sirianni.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's 100%, especially because they have new coordinators and they need to get things down. But a lot of teams cancel that last day. It's, you know, it's sort of become a thing. And they'll go out and have some kind of bonding experience. So don't be surprised. I just throw it out there.
Based on what you just said, now I'm feeling like they're going to cancel that third day.
It's
Eagles love that stuff. Oh, everybody's doing it. Oh, everybody wants to cancel the day three. Or,
well, they would do it before when they had mini camps. So Doug would do it. They would cancel the last day.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll get at least 2 days next week. So good things. Johnny Mac, any final takeaways, any final things you want to say about your trip down to NovaCare for OTAs this week?
I think we hit it all. I'm trying to think. I'm glad. And I give credit to our buddy Jeff Kerr and Tim McManus, my buddy as well. They saw N'Kobe in there with the short 11-on-11 session. And that's where Jalen had an opportunity to throw the touchdown pass to Dallas Goedert. So maybe three plays he was in there, which is a good thing for N'Kobe. And I missed that. So hat tip to those guys. And you can trust those guys. But good session overall. A lot of good stuff. Toe spreaders, number one. Not toast, toe.
Toe spreaders, number one. And offense, time to step up, I would say, is number two. Not an impressive performance at OTAs. Fans will make of that what they will. I don't think we overreacted. I think we were appropriate in our analysis, but time to be better. You don't want 4 or 5 interceptions in 7-on-7s. And they
as Chris also pointed out, you're working on some stuff, and they were, and that's a good because they were definitely throwing a lot of underneath stuff. So maybe that was the plan. Maybe that was what they were trying to work on. And it was ugly, but sometimes it's ugly, like a spring training pitcher, like I said.
Yep, exactly. So it makes sense. Let's get out of here, Johnny Mac. Good week of shows this week. A shortened week, went by quick with no Monday for Memorial Day, remembering all of our soldiers who passed. But a good week nonetheless, and we appreciate everybody in the chat for being here. If you guys are in here, make sure you like the show on your way out. Still about 300 of you in there watching on YouTube and 500 across Jacob platforms. So we appreciate all of you. Johnny Mac, we appreciate you. We appreciate the OTA coverage. Great work by you as always, and we'll catch you on Monday. Thank you for this week of shows, my friend.
Thank you, Xander, and thanks everybody for tuning in.
Thank you, everybody. We will catch you on Monday for Monday's edition of Birds 365. See you guys then.
Here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.